Blog Talk
Let's
Radio.
Do it. Oh yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah. African American Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Shemaine Man, Marvin, Rome, and Bruce. Coming to you live. We got Dr. Bruce in the house today. Talking about important black facts, much, much more. Brother George. Motivation and personal empowerment for the African American community. And as always, there is no greater love, brother. No better love than for self and kind. No greater love. Again, welcome. Welcome one, welcome all to African American Empowerment Saturday. Happy New Year. I hope your resolutions are going well. I hope you had a great holiday season. And now it's time after last Saturday to get back on track to what it is that we need to do in that intentional work of working on ourselves each day and every day, right? 365 days of African-American empowerment and African-American improvement for the African-American community. There's no better way to do it. When you think back for a minute and reflect as much as you can on our history here in this country as we've been cut off from our ancestry and our history and our lineage, let's think about for a moment how special it is to be present, right? To be here, right? And that all of the iterations and all of the experiences that our ancestors went through and our people, what we call ourselves or deem ourselves to be black or colored or Negro or African-American or whatever you want to describe as Africans, indigenous individuals who have been placed in this system and in this culture by force. Right. And so we have so many interwoven stories and histories and accounts that we have to define ourselves by our own account. Right? And now it is a great time to really think about how we can begin to, one, acknowledge the works that our ancestors have done, right, as they continue to strive inside of a society and a culture that really doesn't fit us. Right? It's not created for us. It wasn't manufactured for us, but we were a tool and we still are a tool, right? And it's not negative, right? It's just the fact that as we continue to think about our roles here as people of color or African Americans or blacks, right, we have to begin to think about it in a positive way, in a positive regard. So how can this year you begin to embody some of these principles, right, in your life that you pass from generation to generation now and that you actually live, right, as a part of our functioning here, and that we continue to collaborate together to utilize the principles, right, these success principles to be effective, right? And that, like the joke or the butt of the joke for the world, right? And I'll just say really quickly, I saw a TikTok video, and it's like, who is the group of people on the planet that you wouldn't date? And like, people's like, African-American niggers. I'm like, what? That is so disrespectful. Right. And we are like laughing and enjoying that. And that is so wrong for so many reasons. Right. But again, we have to be able to move ourselves up the ladder based on how productive we are, how we embody the principles to live by effectively as we engage and interact with one another. And we have to be responsible for that now and accountable for that. So here are the pillars of the NAAEA really quickly as we move on into the show. We're going to start the year thinking about how we can have political agendas. I'm spelling out peace. A political agenda. What's your political agenda, right? And not just voting at the presidential election, but you have to have a political agenda. And that agenda has to get you to understanding the systems, the system dynamic in which we live and work and operate in. And once we can effectively navigate that system, then we can teach, train, and develop our people to continue to communicate the value of the system that works for us. Brother Stan says, don't try to get in to fit in, right? But understand the system, right? And how you can work and navigate the system. How do you understand the law and the legal system and how you can navigate that system that is most effective, that keeps us out of the system, right? And then utilize the benefits of the system to improve ourselves. Two, economics. How do we have a collective economic agenda that makes a collective economic impact on our communities? Well, we create jobs and opportunities for our people, right? Our children are going to be graduating from high school and from HBCUs, right, and PWS, and where are they going to go? What are they going to do, right? Who are they going to work for? Are they going to work for you and your corporation and your business or your business systems or the functions that keep them employed and keep them having opportunities and jobs so that they can thrive? Because if we're not employing them, then who will? And we have to take that into account, that we have to have an economic agenda, understanding capitalism and how it works and how to manage the dollars that come into our communities. Next is the A, is the individual. You got to look at yourself and point at yourself now and say, what is my, in 2024, what is my A, what is my athletic agenda? What is my health, wellness, fitness, nutrition agenda to begin to practice eating right, right? Pushing away from the table, getting a fitness regimen, right? That you really begin to start working your body, going for walks, having a, get a personal trainer, join the gym and actually go, right? If you got a Stairmaster or a treadmill at home, you better start using it. If you got weights or dumbbells, use them. If you don't have that equipment, there's always something that you can use, chair exercise, whatever that you need to do to work that A. You got to work your A off this year, right? And then you got to get in shape because, again, we lead the league or the world in health disparities, and we have to change that by changing our diet, pushing away from the table those processed foods and all of that, that fatty material that just doesn't work for our system. Next is C, relevant cultural programs like this one that give us pride, right? And when we engaged like last week at the Kwanzaa Festival, you should have seen so many of us feeling so good about ourselves, but that can't be one day or one week of the year. That has to be every day of the year. Next is education, a comprehensive education that really looks at all these aspects and many, many more to teach, train, and develop our people so that we can become the best people that we can be today and every day. And that's just how it is. And now for the first, for the year 2024, the first Stan Macklin moment. Be right back.
Man, Stan, the deck is back today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I
we
just
got
love
the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, trying to get in, to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Oh, Brother Stan is so right, and it's the tenets and the pillars of the NAAEA that we need to work on collectively, right? And as we continue to grow ourselves, we got to think about how we can continue to work together to utilize these principles to get the job done. It's up to us now, and we can do it. All we have to do is make a decision to work together. And now, for my favorite portion of the show, it's the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with my main man, Brother George. Oh, yeah. You got to bring him in, right? Bring it. I see you.
Bring it. What? Right here. We're not going
nowhere. 2024, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, brother. How you doing?
Doing well. Blessed. The year, the opportunity to bring this show to our people.
That's great to hear. Before I get started, I wanted to give a shout out to Brother James Davis, because while we were communicating, you know, about the show yesterday evening, you know, he called me. He was returning my call, and what he was doing was he was on his way to taking some of the children from public housing on a skiing trip. And I thought that was really outstanding work, you know, and I wanted to shout him out, you know, for doing that. Anyone else who's affiliated with the organization that he's doing it through, I want to shout them out too. But I might have more information once I speak to him again. But I just wanted to, you know, say something about that. Now, today's Kwanzaa principle from the Nguza Saba is Kum creativity. To do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. Kaumba, depicting a snake climbing a rafa palm. This symbol represents ingenuity, excellence, and performance of great feats. Observing the most ordinary details of nature has inspired poets, musicians, philosophers, and scientists to make wonderful creations, inventions, and discoveries. We too can be inspired to new ways of thinking simply by paying attention to the natural world around us. And you know, as always, I got to give a shout out to Dr. Bridges, because he does a great lecture on the natural creation, which I love to hear all the time, much as possible. Now, the Willie List segment, like I explained before, the Willie List segment is designed to take the myths that were planted into our minds during the enslavement period out. That's what the segment is for, is to give you something to flush out the nonsense that was given to us during the enslavement period. Now, I told y'all I was going to find something on our hair. And so I'm going to read the first part of it today. Hair. I read you the introduction as to when they were talking about the development of human beings in Africa and in different parts of the world, but in Africa. And I read that last week. So that was the foundation. Now I'm going to the hair. Let us look at hair under the microscope, both literally and figuratively. Straight hair is the hair of the ape, the cousin of Dawn Man, the Australopithecus. That's the stage of man that they're talking about. And it's called unevolved hair. When that hair of the ape, the European or Asiatic, is examined under the microscope, it is seen to be cyclical and compatible and capable of absorbing water. It is soft and loose, affording no protection to the scalp. It is round cross-sectionally because it emerges from a round hole in the scalp called a follicle. Strangely enough, a baby of true black parents, while in its mother's womb, has round follicles from which cyclical or unevolved hair shafts emerge. Sometimes the unevolved hair persists for many months and for many months after birth, to the delight of uninformed parents. Gradually, the follicle, the hole, squeezes out of round to a elliptical shape. And the hair shaft undergoes a marvelous transformation. The new growth emerges from the elliptical hole or follicle as a ribbon. An oil-based chemical compound is fed to the shaft at the roots from the sebaceous gland, and gradually the hair shaft evolved into a cloak-like protective coating for the most important part of the anatomy, the human brain. The human brain is the greatest accomplishment of all evolution of any species, and thus requires the greatest protection. Now, essentially, I'm going to read the second part of that next week. But essentially, what is being said is that our hair is designed to protect our brain from the heat of the sun or the light of the sun and from other things. Our brain is being protected. Now, no other people on the planet have hair like ours. And for us to deduce that the people who have the curly, curled up hair is a problem, and the people that have the straight hair, that's not a problem. That's all right. See, we're just misinformed because we're no longer educated to what it means to be an African or an Aboriginal person on this planet. And so, brother, I know that we want to get to Dr. Bridges. And so if you have the question of the week, then I can respond to that.
Of course. Thank you, Brother George. Absolutely wonderful. Again, it's about education, y'all. Go out and research for yourself. What's the name of that book, Brother George? See, this is education.
The Journey of the Songhai People. The Journey of the Songhai People. The author's name is Melili. Melili. Nependo Melili. N-A-P-E-N-D-O. M-I-L-E-L-E. The Journey of the Songhai People. Now, I see that name on there, but as I said last week, the Robertson family appears to be the ones who wrote the book. And it's Calvin Robertson, Red Battle, and Edward Robertson Jr. are the ones that's on the copy.
All right.
But the name of the book is The Journey of the Songhai People. And you know that's who we were last known as before we ended up in this condition. That was the last of the great Moorish empires to this point.
There it is, brothers and sisters. Do your homework, your research.
What?
Your hair is beautiful for a whole lot of reasons. Don't discount it. All right, now for the empowerment question of the week, Brother George. Let's go back to Kuumba, creativity. Why in 2024 is it very important for our people to continue to be creative as possible?
Well, one thing, we can't help it because we're the creative-minded people of this world. And that's why people like to hang around you because sooner or later they're going to get a $1 million idea from you. Just like they do with the rappers. They hang around them, and they get them to make different genres of music so that they can manage it and benefit from it. They're not going to create that music. They're not going to create that sound. They're not going to talk out from within them to create a whole genre of music like we did and like we do. So we're the creative-minded people of the world, so all it is you just need to learn how to use it for ourselves instead of letting other people take our music and take our ideas and use it for their benefit. As a matter of fact, I would like for anybody to go and look at, pull up Black inventions and their inventions. And if you could show me one thing on that list that don't exist in this world that is practical to the human being that we didn't invent, I want you to tell me what it is. So, brother, that's my response.
Thank you, Brother George.
Thank you, brother.
Let's continue to be creative, right? Laid it down, right? 2024 is here. Let's be more creative than ever, but let's use our gifts and talents in a great way, right? Today we're going to talk about important black facts and events and even talk about some current events with Dr. Bruce. But I want you to think about making a commitment to really firing off on African-American empowerment for yourself and for your kids and for your next generation and for our community. We have to do it, and it is up to us to do that. The call-in number today is 845-277-9250, 845-277-9250 if you want to get in and ask the question. If Slido is in effect today, and the number is 289-1250. Slido, 289-1250. Let's get on board, and let's get to doing the work of working on ourselves. And if you want to join us, naaea.weebly.com, contact us. Join the mission. Join the movement of African-American empowerment. It is 365 days of the year of doing this work, of working on ourselves. And again, thank you, Brother James, for doing the work. I know you're out there plugged in, out there in the mountains on the ski range, getting it in with the kids. And so we thank you as that man continued to promote our Men in Action mission. MIA don't mean missing in action. It means men in action. Thank you, brother. And now it's time for the on our online classroom today. We got Dr. Bruce coming to you live and in color in 2024. Dr. Bruce, got to bring you in, right? Bring it. Right here. Dr. Bruce, are you here?
Yes, I am. Are my students there, Brother Marvin? I texted a number to about 15 of them. Is your board full? Are they there? I can't see. Are they there?
Board is coming along. Board is coming along.
Okay. I texted a whole lot of them for today's classroom, so I wonder if they showed up, and only you can tell me.
All right. Well, when we get to the call-in line, all they got to do is say, I'm here, and we're rolling with it. 845-277-9250 is the number to call. So if you're on the board, we'll be calling you up in a little bit. If not, you could just text me and say, hey, I ain't talking today. But I'm going to click on you anyway today. All right, Dr. Bruce, what you got for us today? Important black. Oh, first of all, before we do that, Happy New Year, brother. How are you?
Okay, I'll use that for people who don't quite understand it, then I'll give it back to you. Happy New Year. But, it's not really what's happening. There's no difference between December 31st and January the 1st. It's just that the calendar was changed, and that's another lecture for another time. But as usual, with the habits going in the wrong direction, what's new about it is still cloudy, still rainy, still cold, just like it was December 31st and January 1st, no different. But around March is when the new year actually begins, when the seasons begin to change, the weather gets warm, bees start humming and buzzing, and flowers start blooming, and everything is bursting out of the earth, sun is bright. Then things are new. So we won't worry about that today, but same to you, Brother Marvin, and I have to start off teaching, brother.
Do your thing, brother. Do your thing.
All right, stay with me because I will be coming back to you probably in about 20, 25 minutes or so. But today, I just came up with the idea of doing something about December of 2023 and some important facts, figures, events, people, and things that occurred in the month of December as a part of our history as black people. And Brother George reminded me of something in his discussion of hair. And this is why the more knowledge that we gain as a people, the more we are able to relate and to associate and bring the puzzle together, because we can see where something is related to something else, because knowledge, as is the creator, as is the creation, is one. Knowledge is one. But oftentimes we don't see the relationships. But Brother George made me think about a lot of things I really could have gone right into and talk about today, but I'm going to stay on the subject that you sent out to our people. But when he mentioned hair, he made me think about something that's going to relate directly to the first fact I'm going to give for the month of December. But he also made me think of something that I heard Minister Louis Farrakhan say many years ago. I was a student at North Carolina Central University in Durham, North Carolina. Minister Farrakhan was one of our Black History Month speakers. And somehow he was talking about hair and how we use these terms, which we, as Brother George said and as you said, Brother Marvin, since we're trying to recapture our minds and get our minds back, we need to discard saying things like good hair or quality of hair or texture of hair or some of those kinds of things that we say, because these definitions, as Brother George was saying, in other words, were given to us by our European mental oppressors. Good hair is considered to be closely related to hair of white Europeans. And I say white Europeans, too, because that's another lecture that I'm working on. I'll get to it maybe at some point, hopefully, before I leave this life. But when we've been using that term European very loosely for several years, many of our scholars use it loosely. But when we began to study and investigate and to become engaged in more research, we will find that when we say European, usually as it did with me and other people, we think about being white. But European does not necessarily mean white, you see. But that's another story for another time. But back to hair. Minister Farrakhan said, since when, and I'll never forget this, I liked it. He said, since when did hair have moral quality, either good or bad? When you talk about hair and you say it's good or bad, you're talking about moral qualities when you say good or bad, you see. So hair, as Brother George said in his words, it really has no moral quality. It has a purpose that the Creator gave it to us for, and it's used for that purpose, and that's it. But European conquerors and colonizers of the mindset of African people designated certain types of hair to be good and to be bad. So that's, we need to stop that, brothers and sisters. And that leads me into our first fact here, and my discussion today is coming from some facts on a calendar that I have called the Black Seeds Calendar. The Black Seeds, S-E-E-D-S, in case you don't understand me, if I'm not coming through clearly, I'd like to be sure that I'm understood. But the Black Seeds Calendar is a calendar put together by a black organization from Washington, D.C. And on that particular calendar, every month they have certain dates when black people have made accomplishments in any types of world events or world affairs, not just black America, but also blacks in Africa, blacks in Hawaii, blacks in the Caribbean, wherever black people are. And so I decided today to start off with December the 1st and then go down through December and bring us on up to where we are now in the month of January. And there's a relationship to what I'm about to say and what Brother George said about hair. But and by the way, Black Seeds, the organization, it also reminds me, and this is why when you know a lot of things, you keep getting off the subject. Anyway, Black Seeds also remind me of a song by a group, R&B group called The Main Ingredient, where Cuba Gooding Sr., the father of Cuba Gooding Jr., the actor, well-known actor Cuba Gooding Jr., his father was a lead voice for a group called The Main Ingredient. And they did a song before his father became lead singer, as a matter of fact, called Black Seeds Keep On Growing. Some of y'all might want to pull it up, too, on YouTube or something sometime, but it's Black Seeds Keep On Growing. And it's a very good song, and it made me think about the song as we look at the black seeds. And he talks in the song about how black seeds keep growing up everywhere. Black seeds keep on growing. Black seeds keep on growing. And you'll understand a little better as I continue my discussion today on these events and these significant figures in the history of black people. These are black seeds, our people, seeds growing out of the earth, seeds growing out of the Caribbean, seeds growing out of South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, California, seeds growing up out of Nicaragua and Honduras and other countries along the land bridge. These seeds, these black seeds growing up out of Ghana and Cameroon, and black seeds growing up out of Burkina Faso, these black seeds. And on December 1st, Rosa Parks, the courageous black woman, refused to give up her seat on a segregated bus in Montgomery, Alabama, setting off a citywide bus boycott in 1955. Now, I want to make it clear here, all due respect to Sister Rosa Parks, but we also need to talk about Sister Claudette Colvin, C-O-L-V-I-N, Sister Claudette Colvin, who is almost written out of history, but who actually did what Rosa Parks did about 7 or 8 months before Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat. A young 15-year-old girl from Montgomery, Alabama, low-income neighborhood called King Hill. Claudette Colvin was from King Hill, Montgomery, Alabama. She refused to give up her seat on the bus. But the reason you don't know about Claudette Colvin, most of us, is because the NAACP at that time did not think she'd be a good model to be in that position as a person who did not give up her seat. Number one, going back to what Brother George said, she was not the right complexion. She was not a light-skinned woman as Rosa Parks was. Claudette Colvin also didn't have, quote-unquote, good hair, as so-called good hair that Rosa Parks had. And we know all this is BS. It's not even what it's about. Brother George told us what it was about. So the NAACP at that time, we as people who were emerging out of slavery, we were becoming Negroes, and we wanted the right kinds of Negroes to be in certain positions. So Sister Claudette Colvin, from a downtrodden neighborhood in Montgomery, Alabama, who was also pregnant at the time, she was not given credit for what she did because she didn't have the right hair texture and she didn't have the right skin color. So brothers and sisters, we need to, as people, get rid of that kind of thinking, throw it out of our minds, and recapture our minds that we had before our minds were scarred and mutilated by our oppressors in this country and in other parts of the world. And also, Sister Claudette Colvin, I'll never forget when I was reading about her many years ago, she made the statement, which I also want to relate to in my discussion today, these facts and people or figures that I'm talking about today, who and these events in December of last year, these are the shoulders that we as people have to stand upon. Those of us, young people who have jobs, who have positions, and who have moved along in the world and in society, they didn't do it by themselves. They are standing on the shoulders and on the work and on the accomplishments and on the struggles of other people who came before them. And we need not forget that. But most times we forget it and we think it's our own doing and we did this and we did that because we become the president of Harvard or because we become the president or professor of this. No, there were people who came before you, brothers and sisters, and that's why I'm going back to look at what came before you in 2024. These are some of the things that happened in December of of several years gone by. So Claudette Colvin then did not receive credit, and I just want to bring her out as we talk about Rosa Parks and what Rosa Parks did. And back to my point, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about the December 1st date that Rosa Parks sat down, refused to give up her seat on the bus, and I'm also inserting Claudette Colvin in with Rosa Parks. But Claudette Colvin said, I started to get up, but she said, I felt Harriet Tubman pushing my shoulder down on one side and telling me not to stand up to give up my seat to that white woman. And then she said that I felt somebody on my other shoulder. And she said that was Sister Sojourner Truth, who was telling me the same thing that Harriet Tubman told me, do not get up. So December 1st, Rosa Parks, but while you understand Rosa Parks and her contributions, because she did make one, remember Sister Claudette Colvin, the dark-skinned sister, the sister with the Afrikaans features and hair, who did it before Rosa Parks. December 3rd, next date here on our Black Seas calendar. This is in 1847, on December 3rd, it is the first issue of the North Star newspaper that newspaper by Frederick Douglass was issued on December 3rd, 1847. And many of these events and these happenings and people, I won't stay on it too long, but I do want to mention that whenever we look at black organizations and black movements, they always had a way to get the word out to people, and most times it was by means of a black newspaper. And Frederick Douglass introduced the Black Star Line newspaper in 1847, the North Star newspaper in 1847. And then, of course, there were other newspapers, too, that helped in letting black people know what was going on. In Chicago, there was the Chicago Defender newspaper, a black newspaper. In Baltimore, Maryland, there was an Afro-American newspaper. In Durham, North Carolina, there was a newspaper called the Carolina Times. And the Carolina Times newspaper, its motto was the truth unbridled, and had a picture, a little small picture of a horse head at the top whose bridle had been loosened. And so that was started by a man by the name of Mr. Austin in Durham, North Carolina. So black newspapers, Marcus Garvey had his newspaper. Also, the UNIA had a newspaper. So all Elijah Muhammad Speaks, Final Call, Black Panther Party, newspaper. This is before TikTok, before Facebook, and before the internet. We had newspapers to alert black people as to what was going on. But the first issue of the North Star by Frederick Douglass was December 3rd, 1847. Let's move on to December 4th. December 4th, another important date in black history, Black Panther leaders Mark Clark and Fred Hampton were brutally murdered by the FBI and the Chicago police in 1969. And many of these facts that I'm talking about, brothers and sisters, you can on your own go and find them out and get more information about them. But we have to remember December 4th in 1969, when young brother Fred Hampton, young revolutionary Mark Clark, were organizing in Chicago, Illinois, and were killed. Fred Hampton was killed while he was laying in his bed asleep by the Chicago police. So remember December 4th. And as I give all these dates, brothers and sisters, to those who are tuned in, I want us to understand that we have so much more that we can commemorate or celebrate during the month of December, and actually all the months. And a Christmas tree can't hold a pail of water to all this history and these facts that I'm giving you. Even though the Christmas tree was introduced into England before coming to America by a black woman named Princess Charlotte Sophia, even though it was introduced when she became the Queen of England after leaving Germany, where the Christmas tree originated, and then when the settlers came from England to America, they brought what Queen Charlotte had given them, which is another story, but that whole Christmas tree idea, brothers and sisters, carries not any weight when we look at what we have actually done in the month of December. Mark Clark and Fred Hampton are much more important than a lighted Christmas tree. December 5th, Bill Pickett, a renowned cowboy, was born in 1870. There were several black cowboys that we never see. The Lone Ranger, and many of you all are looking at that right now, I'm sure. Bass Reeves is where the story of the Lone Ranger was taken from, a black cowboy. But on December 5th, Bill Pickett, a renowned bulldogger and cowboy, was born in 1870. On December 9th, be sure to remember P.B.S. Pinchback of Louisiana became the first black governor in 1872. P.B.S. Pinchback became the first black governor of Louisiana in 1872 during the period of Reconstruction. So give me that fact. On December 10th, the country of Tanzania became independent from Britain in 1961. Tanzania. Also, a popular movement for the liberation of Angola was established on December 10th in 1956. Important dates and figures in our black history from 2024. On December 10th also is a date that Martin Luther King received the Nobel Peace Prize in Oslo, Norway in 1964. December 10th, 1964. Dr. King received the Nobel Peace Prize. All right, December 12th, as we move along here down our Black Seas calendar, a man by the name of George Grant received a patent for the golf tee in 1899. You see, we don't hear his name, but the golf tee, the many black men, of course, who participate in golf today should take their hats off to George Grant, who invented and received the patent for the golf tee in 1899. That's December 12th. December 13th, Ella Baker, political activist, was born in 1903. Now, to those who may not know much about Ella Baker, her name also, like Sister Claudette Colvin, is not too well known, but she's from Norfolk, Virginia, but she was actually raised in Littleton, North Carolina, but she was one of the founders of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. She also was very much inspirational for the development of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, a student valedictorian of her class at Shaw University, and activist, Ella Baker, born 1903. Very important date, much more important than December 25th, the birthday of Ella Baker. Because you must remember, brothers and sisters, that that particular date is a date that was concocted or made up by the oppressors of our people and by a capitalist system who wants to take all of our money and have us commemorating something that has nothing to do with us. December 13th, Ella Baker. All right, as we go on down the Black Seas calendar, and I'm watching my clock, Brother Marv, December 15th. William A. Hinton, he was a developer of the Hinton test for syphilis, for diagnosing syphilis, was born in 1911 on December 15th. A black man developed a test diagnosing syphilis, and he was the first black professor also at Harvard University, where he went to school. They tried to give him a scholarship to Harvard that was designated strictly for African Americans, but he said, no, I don't even need that one. I want to compete for the one that all people compete for. And he won that scholarship to Harvard University and eventually taught at Harvard. And Harvard has his picture in a very important laboratory in Massachusetts, up beside some of the other doctors and white men who made contributions to the medical field at Harvard University. William A. Hinton is the only one of African descent who has a picture there at that laboratory in Massachusetts for developing a diagnosis for syphilis. And this also reminds me of the picture that's on the wall at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland, the picture of Vivian Thomas, the black man who worked with Dr. Blaylock, the black man who did not finish any college, but he did tremendous work in the medical field and helped Dr. Blaylock with his research on the Blue Baby incident, Vivian Thomas. And there's a good movie about Vivian Thomas, the black man who's a medical doctor and who Dr. Blaylock, the white man, depended upon in his experiment and in his surgical experiences at Johns Hopkins Hospital, learned as we go back to something else Brother George said earlier, as we look at what's around us, Vivian Thomas was a plumber before he started working with Dr. Blaylock. And he understood that when water goes down your sink and through the pipes and the lines of your irrigation system of your pipes, it's the same way that blood leaves the heart and circulates throughout the whole human body. And from working as a plumber, he was able to develop a technique that he used when he was hired by Dr. Blaylock to work on the hearts of dogs. And then they took that information that they learned from working with dogs and transferred it to humans. But it was because of Vivian Thomas, Dr. Vivian Thomas. He never finished college. He was a college student at Fisk University, but he had to drop out and didn't finish. But he eventually became a doctor anyway on his own by working. And his picture is the only black man in Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. So I mentioned him as I talk about William Hinton, who was born on the 15th. Also, on December the 16th, the military wing of the African National Congress, the ANC, was formed in 1961. The military wing of the ANC was formed on December 16th, 1961. December 18th, Stephen Biko, leader of the Black Consciousness Movement and organizer in the struggle of South Africa against the brutal apartheid system, was born 1946. December 18th, Stephen Biko, B-I-K-O, in case you want to look him up. Stephen Biko, by the way, was a medical student, very intelligent, used to do a newspaper column, but he was killed by the racist apartheid regime in South Africa. But his birthday is December 18th, 1946. All right. December 19th, 1875, as we move along our Black Seeds calendar here. And this particular person who I'm about to tell you about, who was born on December 19th in 1875, is one of the reasons that we're doing what we are doing today. As I said earlier, we must understand whose shoulders we're standing upon. December 19th, 1875, is the birth date of Dr. Carter G. Woodson, historian, educator, and organizer of Black History Week at the time, or Black History Day at the time. But now it's Black History Month. But Dr. Woodson's birthday is December 19th. So brothers and sisters, as you can see from what I'm saying here, there are so many things that we can construct and organize for celebrations during the month of December, other than holidays that were given to us by our white European conquerors and colonizers. Dr. Carter G. Woodson, there's a lot of information about him, first black man to receive a PhD from Harvard University, second to Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, and also from New Canton, Virginia. And Dr. Carter G. Woodson's most well-known book is one called The Miseducation of the Negro. So read a little more on Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who was born December 19th, 1875. All right. On December 20th, 1852, European settlers were defeated by the Basotho people in South Africa in 1852. White European settlers were defeated by the Basotho people in South Africa in 1852 on December 20th, a very important war for the liberation of South Africa. December 22nd, another important date in Black history, Chancellor Williams, historian and author, was born in 1898. Dr. Chancellor Williams, who did a lot of research on Egypt and the pre-European organization of Egyptian societies and culture. Dr. Chancellor Williams, one of his favorite, his famous book, most famous book, is The Destruction of Black Civilization. He eventually became a professor at Howard University from Bennettsville, South Carolina. As I said before, we're talking in Bennettsville, South Carolina, King Hill, Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, for Claudette Colvin, Azania, South Africa, Black Seeds. Just keep on growing everywhere. Chancellor Williams, you might want to look him up a little later. December 23rd, Henry Highland Garnett, a powerful preacher, abolitionist, and orator, was born in 1815, December 23rd, the birthday of Henry Highland Garnett. Be sure to remember him. Great preacher Dr. Garnett was. December 26th, the first day of Kwanzaa. You all, I'm sure, have discussed that. That's the day called Emoji. December 27th was the second day of Kwanzaa called Kujichagulia, which means self-determination. December 26th is the third day of Kwanzaa, which was collective work and responsibility, or Ujima. And December 29th, the fourth day of Kwanzaa, was Ujamaa, which means cooperative economics. And December 30th, the fifth day of Kwanzaa, which is called Nia, N-I-A, Nia, which means purpose in the Kiswahili language. And December 31st was the sixth day of Kwanzaa, which was Kuumba, which means creativity. And also on December 31st, we cannot overlook this one. December 31st was the birth date in 1918 of Dr. Yusuf Ben Yochanan, another one of our great scholars, another one of our great theoreticians, another one of our great activists who contributed so much to us as a people on December 31st. Remember Dr. Yusuf Ben Yochanan. Now we go from December 31st to January the 1st. Very, very, very important date. This is the date that Haiti, the first liberated nation of Africans in the Western Hemisphere, gained their independence in 1804. January 1st in 1804, Haiti became the first nation of Africans in the Western Hemisphaire to gain their independence under the leadership of Toussaint Louverture, and you can read more about that on your own. That's a whole lot of information. As we go on and get on to where we are today, also on December the 1st, that was the seventh day of Kwanzaa, and the last day of Kwanzaa, which is called Imani, which means faith. Faith, Imani, faith, was January 1st, the seventh day of Kwanzaa, which we commemorate Imani, which is faith. Faith in our ancestors, faith in our struggle, faith in our leaders, faith in our people. Also, on January the 1st, is the date that Lincoln University, one of the first black colleges, opened in 1854, January the 1st. Also January the 1st, a lot of January the 1st, is John Hope Franklin, historian and author of John Hope Franklin, former professor at North Carolina Central University, former professor at Duke University. There's a building named for him. He was born in 1915, Dr. John Hope Franklin, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you see. So his book, his most famous book, was called From Slavery to Freedom. Also on January the 1st, Rosewood, a prosperous black town, was burned to the ground, and many blacks were murdered by whites in 1923 on January the 1st. January the 1st, that we call New Year's, is a very important day in the history of black people, all those dates that I just gave you. Also a very important January the 1st date is the birth date of Dr. John Henry Clark, born in 1915. Dr. John Henry Clark, author of several books, born in Alabama, Union Springs, Alabama, to be exact. John Henry Clark, author of several books, started the Harlem Study Club, became an advisor to Dr. Kwame Nkrumah of Ghana. Dr. John Henry Clark, professor emeritus of Hunter College in New York, and Dr. John Henry Clark, who studied on his own, had not even graduated from high school. And Dr. Clark is one of our great historians, a good friend of Dr. Ben Yochanan. And Dr. John Henry Clark's birthday is January the 1st, 1915. You might want to read more about John Henry Clark. And I'll never forget when I met Dr. Clark at a conference at the National Association African-American Association, College of Wilson Association, African-American Society for Life and History. I met Dr. Clark. He was on a panel, and I met and talked with him a long time. But that's another story. I can talk to you about that a little later. And January 2nd, as we began to get to our end, another noted author was born, St. Clair Drake. You might want to investigate him. Most people have not heard of him. He started one of the earliest black studies programs in this country at Stanford University. He also started a black studies program at Roosevelt University in Chicago, Illinois. And Dr. St. Clair Drake is from Barbados, the island of Barbados. His father moved here, and St. Clair was born in Staunton, Virginia. But he was actually from or has roots in Barbados. Great black historian. One of his books that I have right here near me now is called Black Folks Here and There, St. Clair Drake. Now, since we're talking about black studies programs, which is another reason we're doing what we're doing today, if it weren't for black studies, we wouldn't be doing this. The first black studies program in this country, we have to give credit, though, to Dr. Nathan Hare, who started black studies at San Francisco State University in San Francisco, California. But St. Clair Drake also was very early in starting a black studies program at Stanford University, also at Roosevelt College, and for a while he taught at Hampton University. Born on this date, January 2nd in 1911. All right, January the 4th, the birth date of C.L.R. James, J.A.M.E.S. He's an author, a political economist, historian, born in Trinidad in 1901. And I met C.L.R. James. I'll never forget it. I was also a student at North Carolina Central University. And I met Dr. James. We brought him there as a speaker in the Department of Geography. And he was responsible for actually helping me to understand mercantilism, which was another subject. We don't have time to get into it now, but I will spell it for some people who might want to understand it. But one of his great books, the Trinidadian scholar C.L.R. James wrote, was called The Black Jacobins, J-A-C-O-B-I-N-S, The Black Jacobins by C.L.R. James. And C.L.R. James explained to me mercantilism, M-E-R-C-A-N, T-I-L-I-S-N, mercantilism, M-E-R-C-A-N-T-I-L-I-S-M. And in that word, you can see the word merchant. So it has to do with economies and movement of economies around the earth. January the 4th, birthday of C.L.R. James. Also, the Amsterdam newspaper was founded in 1909, January the 4th, by a man from North Carolina, a man by the name of Oscar Tatum, who moved to New York and was from Henderson, North Carolina, I believe, or Oxford, North Carolina. But Tatum moved to New York and founded the Amsterdam News, and the Amsterdam News became another organ for the black community to get the word out, and a very important newspaper. As we said before, black seeds keep on growing. From Trinidad and Tobago with C.L.R. James to Oxford and Henderson, North Carolina with Oscar Tatum and the Amsterdam News. Also on January the 4th in the year 1920 is the year, is the date and the year, January 4th, 1920, is the year that the Negro Baseball League was established. And that was on January the 4th in 1920. So at that, we're in our time. Well, January the 7th, W.B. Purvis, those of y'all who are taking notes and writing some of this down, W.B. Purvis, a black man, invented and patented the fountain pen in 1890. What a good way to end, right, with the fountain pen. So you all are taking notes. Think about W.B. Purvis when you're writing things down. And remember, as Brother George said earlier, our people have made so many contributions around this world that it would take forever, forever to highlight all of them. So, Brother Marvin, I hope that our listeners got something out of what I had to say. Now I want to hear from my students, my dear Brother Marvin, and I'm going to give it right back to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Bruce.
Try to have some rich knowledge and information. All right, my dear. Let's go right ahead, my dear brother, and let's see what we got on the line today. See if my students showed up in class.
Got you. All right. I got to start with Slido first. Real quick.
Okay.
It says, can you elaborate more on the new year and how it is not January 1st?
Just briefly, and it's not difficult, and I'm doing this for the sake of time. Just briefly, as we said before, the calendar was changed. From the beginning, the original calendar started off in March as the new year. But when the Romans, whose calendar we follow today, conquered Egypt, where the calendar actually, or the, not the calendar, but where the actual movement of the planets, especially the earth around the sun, where they recognized this as the early astronomers, they designed the first calendar. They are us, or we designed the first calendar. We are the ancient Egyptians. But the Romans conquered Egypt, and March was the first month of the calendar, and then the Romans under Julius Caesar added January, named after the god Janus. And Janus was a Roman god who had two heads, one head looking into the future in one direction and the other head looking into the past in the other direction. So this is what January does. So they added on January and February to what we already had, and so the whole calendar was reconstructed. And as I always say, one thing you can do if you cannot put together the chronology or the historical facts and implications, it is clear, though, you can just look out your window, and if somebody didn't say to you that this is New Year's Day, how would you know that it was New Year's Day? If it's really New Year's, you should be able to see it in the natural creation. In the creation that the Supreme Being put around us, there are certain things that we can see springtime when it comes. Nobody has to tell us that springtime is coming. We can see the activity in our environment. We can see the activity in our environment when fall comes. We can see the activity in our environment when winter comes. There is no change in December and January. So if it's new, if it's truly and indeed a new year, you should be able to see some newness other than some newness that's been defined by a capitalistic system, which I don't have time to get into now. You should be able to see it. So, but with that being said, I'll give the caller or the Slido person, Brother Marvin, enough information to go on their own, and we can move on to another one.
All right. All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Now let's go to the lines. I got to do this real quick, Dr. Bruce. Oh, yeah. Real quick.
Okay. Real quick. I'm going to try to keep it moving.
Oh, that's for the lines. All right. Here we go. Okay. All right. That's it. 2024. All right. Here we go. 919-452-4592 coming to you right now. 4592. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce? 4592.
Oh yeah, I'm really enjoying the show, and I'm calling in from Durham. I'm one of those brothers that Brother George was talking about with the highly evolved hair. I heard Brother Bridge was talking about when we think of Europe, we think of white people. And I heard Brother George a couple of weeks ago talking about a book called Negro Rulers of Scotland and the British Isles. And Brother Bridges did say that he might would comment on that at a future date. I wanted to comment on it now.
as that caller knows very well, Brother Marvin, and I want to stay in the court about time. I will comment on it, but as the caller knows, hey man, it's a book. With all due respect. I repeat, with all due respect to John Henry Clark and Dr. Ben and Chancellor Williams and Renoka Rashidi and Ashwat Kwesi, and with all due respect to Leonard Jeffries, and the list goes on, and St. Clair Drake and Nathan Hatt, with all due respect to our historians, Dr. DeGruy, and that is an area that we have certainly overlooked and have not given enough time to. The African presence in Scotland, Ireland, Wales, the other islands, the Hebrides, in Orkney, in Skye, in Iran, in the Shetland Islands, in that whole area outside of the conterminous area that we call Europe, we've not given enough time to it. And we have been deceived by white photographers, by white historians who have given us the narrative, and we have followed their narrative. They have not told us that many of these names that we had before coming to America and were our names and were not the names of our slave masters. We were not told that Mac means son of, Mac Ivor, Mac Donald, Mac Duffy, Mac Ritchie, Mac Millen, that all of these Macs that mean son of that you find in the areas of Scotland and Ireland were names that we developed and that we originated when we were the the Picts and the Pygmies, the Twa people who went there after leaving Egypt and going into Spain and Portugal and settling those islands and becoming the great kings and queens of Scotland. We became Braveheart. We became Kenneth the Third. We became Kenneth MacAlpin, the Dove. We were Anne Boleyn. We were King James, who authorized the Bible. We were Queen Mary the Second. We were King Charles the First, who named North Carolina after himself, Charles, the great Carolus. Charles is Carolus in Latin, and named the Carolinas when we were on the thrones. And we were King George the Third, who fought against another black man named George Washington for the liberation of the United States of America. And I don't have time to get into all this, but as a writer by the name of David MacRitchie says, I'm going to stop at this brother threw me a pitch, and he knew I was going to hit it, but I should have just hit a little bump. I'm trying to hit a home run, but I don't have time. I should have just bunted the ball down the third baseline. But anyway, when we study and understand, my dear brothers and sisters, that, oh man, it's just so much. Anyway, I did it. I commented on it. Let's move on, brother Marvin. I get excited about this. And the reason I get excited about it is because I'm beginning to see how white people gear us into Egypt, and they kind of let us have Egypt, but they don't let us have the royalty. They don't let us have the royalty of the Stuart dynasty. They don't let us have the royalty of Queen Catherine of Braganza. They don't let us have the royalty of the Medici family of France, the black people of France who sat on the throne. They don't let us understand that Isaac Einstein was a black man from Bavaria, Germany, who came to America. They don't let us understand that because they've taken and stepped into our history. They don't let us understand that these Africans were sent to Barbados and Antigua and to Jamaica and Curacao and other islands in the Caribbean. These were black people. That's why the islands are most inhabited by black people today, you see, because we were sent there to work those plantations, but we came off of the thrones and then sat down on plantations. We didn't know that. They don't want us to know about Abraham Lincoln, the black Melungeon. They don't want us to know about it. But when you study the history, the facts, and the sources and resources will verify everything that I'm saying. But anyway, Brother Marvin, you got to learn how to cut me off, man. Go ahead. Let's take another call.
No, never do. You just keep right on going. All right, real quick, Dr. Bruce is going to be in Richmond Live on February the 24th, Saturday, February the 24th, for our Black History Festivities. Excuse me. That'll be NAAEA Live. We'll have a live show with Dr. Bruce here in Richmond, and we'll have two live shows on Saturday the 10th with Brother Kebulin. He'll be having his book and Dr. Bruce on the 24th live here in Richmond. Let's go back to the lines. And Dr. Bruce, you can go as long as much as possible. All right, 919-6511. Go ahead, brother.
I want to hear from my students. Let's hear them. At least let me know they're listening and learning. Go ahead, Brother Marvin.
6511. Live, you have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce. 6511. Going once. Let's move on down to 919-2091. You're alive. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce?
It's Chris from Durham. Can you hear me?
To the show. Yes.
Yes. I just want to add to what Dr. Bridges was saying. I got a little counter here myself, but it's kind of a little bit. People just born during our time, you know, some of them. C.J. Walker was the first female millionaire. And, you know, just looking over the calendar, ain't going to take long. Douglas Wilder, first African-American governor, Virginia.
Richard.
You know, just to name a few, George Washington Carver. You know, I think some of these their birthday too. So that's all I wanted to add.
Okay.
For listening.
And you know, I want to thank that caller too for that is one of my students. I did send him out the information. I'm glad he's in class today. But what I want to add is let me give you a good example of why I'd like to hear from our callers. As I said before, they inspire me, as that caller did, asked me about Scotland. But also, that last caller that just hung up, he made me remember something that I had forgotten. And see, that's why I like to hear from you as callers. I like for you to say something. If you just say we're listening, it helps me out. And he made me, and I wanted to, and see, it's not on the Black Seas calendar, but I do know it. December 21st was also an important date, even though it's the first date of the winter solstice. We know that. But also December the 21st was the birth date in 1949 of a brother by the name of Thomas Isidore Nobel Sankara from Burkina Faso, who is now deceased, who was the president of Burkina Faso from 1984 or 83 until about 1987, when he was killed by his childhood friend. Why is Sankara important? If any of you who have my book, you can read more on him in my book, Recapturing the African Mind. But Thomas Sankara was a brother, graduated at the top of his class in Burkina Faso, West Africa, was going to be a priest, but decided to join the military and distinguish himself in the military. And he went to school in France because Burkina Faso is a country that was colonized by the French. And he also went to school in Madagascar, which is another country colonized by the French off the southeast coast of Africa, Madagascar. But while he was in school, he read about Huey P. Newton. He read about Malcolm X. And he read about all the revolutionaries and Marxist theoreticians of the time. And when he was going back home to Burkina Faso after finishing school, he stopped by Cuba and met and was decorated by Fidel Castro. He stopped and met Maurice Bishop from the island of Grenada. He also met Daniel Ortega, the revolutionary leader of Nicaragua at the time in the early 1980s, Daniel Ortega. So he met these revolutionaries, and he studied revolutionary material and dogma and went back home to Burkina Faso and saw the corruption in the society of his country. He saw where his country had gold, more gold, about the ninth largest gold-producing country in the whole world, and the people are poor. He saw food on the plates of his brothers and sisters at home, and all that food was produced in Europe. He said, something is wrong with this. And so he took over the government, but then he was killed by his childhood friend, paid off by the French, and then that's another story. But December 21st, and those who are interested should go on the computer, Thomas Sankara, just like it sounds, S-A-N-K-A-R-A. And I forgot to mention him because he's not listed on the calendar, but I knew it. And I was going by the calendar, and I just forgot it. So that's why I like to hear from our callers. Say something, and it'll help me because I can't remember everything. I mean, it's just too much. I can't remember. Brother Marvin, back to you. Let's see. Who else we got, brother?
All right. All right. Let's help Dr. Bruce. All right. We got 919-1572. You're live. You're up next. Do you have a question or comment? Statement for Dr. Bruce. 1572. Last four of your number.
Just listening.
That's all we need.
Welcome.
That's
thank
good.
You for listening. All right. So thank you for listening. You might have sparked something. Come on, Dr. Bruce.
That's
tell
right.
me something.
As a matter of fact, that caller did spark something. And what that caller sparked in me was to let me know that caller, you've called that caller many times and they never said anything, but whoever that caller was, at least we're doing better because now she said, what, I'm just listening. So, you know, just trying to, you know, we got to help each other, and that's good. So next time, that caller might make a comment. I might want to be a guest on the program. You know.
I will say this. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Right? She is consistent. Yeah. I got to say that.
Right.
Thank you, sister, because you are consistent. We appreciate that, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Slido real quick. All right, let's go back to question number two is, how can our people of color, begin to honor our hair? Oh, this is a hair question. How can our people honor their hair, Dr. Bruce?
How can by just wearing it natural, I guess. I hadn't thought about it. It's not my area that much, but I guess if we just wear it natural and be proud of whatever hair we have, if we don't have it, and just be proud of it. And I will say, I'm glad that you go again. These questions, they scare me, and they make me think of things. So I'm glad they respond, whether it's on Slido or the phone. But anyway, I'm beginning to find out, too, that some of the hairstyles that we wear and some of the wigs that those Kenyan judges and people in the assembly wear, which they're imitating Europeans, many of those hairstyles were being worn by black people in Europe before coming to America. The judges and the barristers, the attorneys. Oh, yeah. I'm doing research, Brother Marvin. It's really interesting. As that first call you took, he threw out the first pitch of the game. I guess he must be the president because he threw out the first pitch. But anyway, our history is very, very, very important. It has not all been good. We've intermarried and intermixed and married second and third cousin. We've taken over people's land, and we've done this, but it's still our history, and we have to we just have to bring it forth. It's not always good, and we don't like to hear a lot of it, but it's still our history. But that's how it goes. Okay, so in terms of hair, wear it, be proud of whatever, be proud of where the creator gave you, be proud of it and wear it, and do whatever you can to, accept it. That's what I'm really trying to say, accept it. We don't have to always
all right.
use conditioners and relaxers and all that kind of stuff, but, but I always say, and I'm going to leave it this, what I always say is what's more important than on what's on top of the head is what's inside the head.
Say it. Just say it. Brother George, all right, let's stay with Slido because this one is for you, Dr. Bruce. It says, Dr. Bruce, directly, how do we begin to learn to love ourselves again? Where do we start?
By knowing and understanding who we are, then we will love ourselves as a people. Since we've been given everything about us as negative, everything that's derogatory, everything that's humiliating, since we've been given all those kinds of things, we need to reverse that process now and begin to see, as I think it was John Henry Clark or several people may have said it, we need to begin to see the beauty in ourselves, in our culture, and in our history. And there again, this is why I like questions. It reminds me of something else I meant to say. I just heard a New Year's speech by the president of Burkina Faso, not Sankara, who we just talked about. He's deceased and gone back to the ancestors. But the youngest president in the whole world, Brother Ibrahim Traore of Burkina Faso in West Africa, he just made a New Year's speech after kicking the French out of his country, after taking control of the gold mines, and he's not exporting any more gold to Europe. And he just made a New Year's speech, and he said, we have to go back and grab our roots and our culture. He said that the French have caused us to be isolated and distanced from who we are. And he said that we have to go back and see the beauty in ourselves and take control of our own culture and our own heritage. So he said that in my administration, culture is going to be very, very, very important. So what we're saying here on
all right.
the program, what we're doing, Brother Marvin, is right on that. Okay, let's move to another one. Okay.
All right, thank you. Let's go back to the lines. We're going over to – let's go back to the lines, 334-0148. 0148, you're up next. You have a question or comments for Dr. Bruce.
Peace and blessings, everyone. I'm just listening today and like to hear more from Dr. Bruce's students.
All right, Dr. Bruce.
Okay.
All right,
Goes from King Hill, Montgomery, Claudette Colvin's homeboy.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Lush. We appreciate you joining us today. We have Dr. Lush coming up as well. He's going to be doing a show as well. Again, we have Dr. Bruce coming up in February right here live in Richmond on the 24th of February. You don't want to miss being here with us if you can join us. All right, let's move down to 804-9282. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce?
Brother Marvin.
Yes, sir.
Brother Bruce. Peace, my brothers, and great show as always. Brother, you know, I'm just listening, and I wanted to do my little piece on the next segment of that, but I'll tell you what, I'll just say that to next week, and it kind of ties into what Brother George and Brother Bruce said today. Because the next one is the one believes in himself, and number five is the one believes in his people, even if they don't believe in themselves. So that ties into what we've been talking about today. I wanted to touch on something since you're giving me a little time, is that we're taught in the Bible that God said, "Let us make man in our image, our likeness, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and every creeping thing that crept upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the likeness of God created he him, male and female. And in another section of the Bible, we're taught, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And in those two verses right there, if those two things are in fact true my brothers, what we're saying is we are God. We are God. Go back now. He said, in his image, his likeness, I make them. They me. I'm just reproducing me. The one believes in himself. The one knows who he is. He knows his greatness, and he believes in his people. Whether they believe in themselves. None of us is any better or greater than the other. That greatness of our Father is in each and every one of us. That's what we need to know. A slave cannot be God, and God will not be a slave. That's the whole story, brother. And we can talk about that more in the future. Thank you, brother.
All right. All right, thank you. We'll see you next week. Let's go back to the lines real quick. 0946, 804, 0946. I see you. Do you have a question, a comment, a statement for Dr. Bruce?
Just listening. Thank you.
Hey, sister, I see you out there. All right, let's go on over to 540-3663. You have a question, a comment for Dr. Bruce?
I just, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Yes. I've been reading up on some things, and I just want your opinion on something. I've been reading about the black skin original Jews, the Israelites. What's your take on that?
That's another whole subject. You're absolutely right, and that's why I like to hear from the callers, because you reminded me of something I also did not say. That's why I like you from my father. You're right. We were the original Jews, the original people of Israel, and Dr. Yitzhak Ben Gakanan made that statement several years ago, and it was very controversial, but he wrote a book, Dr. Yitzhak Ben Gakanan, who we just talked about, who was born January 1st. Dr. Ben wrote a book called We the Black Jews. So to answer your question, caller, yes, we are the original Jews of this planet, and the people who are over there today that who've taken over the land from the Palestinians, they are not the Jews. They are not the original Jews. Those same people in that same situation got Sister Claudine Gay fired from Harvard University. It's another story near the end of the hour. But thank you, brother, for that call. But we are the original Jews. Another subject for another time. Brother Marvin, back to you, brother.
I believe that's Brother Stan's son. Is that Brother Stan's son?
I don't know. I thought he might. Maybe he's gone. Okay.
Let's see if we can get one more in. 980-7846. Going all the way down the line. 7846. Got a question or comment?
Real quick.
Yeah, I'm just listening. Just listening.
Where you calling from?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina. Bridges.
Yeah.
Thank you for getting me, brother Mom. That's my brother, my blood brother.
All right, well, let's wrap it up. We got about a minute and 30. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Final comments from you, Dr. Bruce, as we wrap it up for today.
I just want to let all of our callers and our Slido people and our people on the computers, and shout out to Dr. Maxwell. He just texted me, Brother Marvin. He's listening also. And just want to say to those who are tuned in today, this program is on every Saturday at 2 o'clock. So tune in every Saturday and help make it a better program and make it a good year, and always remember who we are and where we stand in the struggle. So I want to thank everybody who tuned in, who listened, and who didn't say anything, and who were listening on Slido and on the computer. I hope you tuned in, because I did send out a lot of stuff, Brother Marvin, and thanks to you and Brother George for all of your insight, and I look forward to seeing you over in February. We'll be announcing that sooner or later anyway. Over and over, I guess.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce, for another exciting show to continue to show the importance of black facts and black events in our world and in our lives. We thank you so much, Dr. Bruce. Continue to do the work, doing the week of working on yourself to become the best that you can be today, each day, every day, one day at a time. It's African American Empowerment on African American Empowerment Saturday. Join us next week as we continue to do the work of working on ourselves. Until then, amen.